What about all those microphone bumps and can openings?
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. This episode, we're going to be talking about Star Trucker, Honk Honk, Backpack Hero, and Space Marine 2. But first, my name is Christian.
And I'm Bobby.
I'm a free man. I went from 80-hour weeks to 60-hour weeks, and a 40-hour week starts next week. And if you're out there and you think you don't have time, and that doesn't include an hour driving each way, so...
An hour it's drive? A lot, man. No, say yeah. It ain't so. That's the worst fucking part.
Yeah. Well, it gives me time to listen to my own ineptitude on the podcast. So
you've been hard on yourself, dude. Sometimes you come in, you're like, I'm sipping, I'm clanking. It's, I don't know.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm still the best part. I'm just picking
myself. Okay, as long as you know. Okay. What are we plugging this week, Emilio?
DLGCon. And the reason that you haven't seen a lot of movement on this is because I'm in charge of it. And I've been working like a madman. And now that time is freeing up, there's one thing to talk about. November 1st through 3rd. That's all that's important. Start working towards getting that weekend off, or at least getting one of those days off. We're going to start Friday night. We're going to game all day Saturday and most of Sunday. So that's the plan. It's a convention, virtually. There's going to be more things planned during that. Like, we're going to do a live podcast on Sunday, and maybe do some giveaways, play a lot of party games. I think there's been a couple. Am I supposed to be keeping track of that list of games that we're supposed to be playing?
Yeah, anyway. I think you could, but we're nowhere close to November, dude. You've got time.
No. Don't even. So anyway, yes, November 1st through the 3rd. Prepare to have fun.
Okay, with us. That's awesome. Oh, yeah. I saw you posted a picture of X's and O's in the Discord.
Yeah.
Will there be an X's and O's tournament, you know?
Is that what you guys call it up there?
I think many people refer to it as X's and O's, not just people up there, you know, whatever you mean by that. I don't know.
In Elysium, dude, those people. No, we call it tic-tac-toe, and it's a fool's game, man. There would not be a tournament.
Okay.
Because whoever goes first always wins.
Do they? I don't know the strategy of X's and O's or tic-tac, whatever. Okay. On this show, we ping things, and that's just noting something interesting before we get started. And Amanda this weekend did a developer interview with some of a team she met at PAX working on this operating system horror game called Desktop Explorer. And that interview went well. It's also... you know, the return of Amanda to your ears on the podcast, which is fun. She, how long was she on here for? About a year, right? A year ago for about a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. I don't know the exact...
more than a year.
I feel like it was more than a year.
Than a year? Okay. Yeah. Anyways, one of our beloved friends used to join us every week, but moved and had other priorities, and now is coming back doing some interviews. So... that episode will be out on Saturday. There's also a video version on YouTube, and I encourage you to click that and listen to it when it pops up on your feed. It's pretty cool. She did a great job. What are you pinging this week, Emilio?
Duskmorn. I know that we have a Magic the Gathering podcast.
Oh my God.
Like split off here. Yeah. Spinoff, but that has nothing to do with me. So
okay.
I play Magic the Gathering every day on my phone, and Duskmorn is coming out just like barely over a month and a half after
Bloomburrow.
Yeah. Bloomburrow was fantastic. Probably the best set in years, most people say.
Best set since Ping Pong, some people say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Duskmorn is set in a haunted house, and they are going for a lot of like scary movie tropes, and a lot of nods to a lot of scary movies. Like there's a chainsaw massacre type card. I mean, you know, I'm surprised they don't get sued. I mean, they just copied everybody. There's a clearly a Stranger Things. There's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but, you know, not those names. Anyway, so they're just kind of going for pulp kind of horror. And yeah, it's, you know, I was more into the Bloomborough. Nick is really into this one. But they really went for some creepy stuff. So one of the things that they're going for is the Fear Of series. So there is the Fear of Missing Teeth, which is like the embodiment of fear, you know, of people not wanting to do that, like get their teeth pulled out. Yeah. There's the fear of missing out. There's the fear of like immobility, the fear of abduction, which is the first time an alien's been on a magic card. They're really, really benching out. I saw somebody talking about like about this, like they're not staying in their regular realms, their regular universes, and they're kind of going full Rick and Morty, just like going completely different universes with their own rules,
right?
Like, it makes so much more sense to me. I mean, they've been plane walking since the very beginning. Why not go visit some crazy one, including Earth? A lot of people are thinking that Duskmorn might be on Earth. What is the other one? Oh, I don't know what this card is called, but it's a heat crab that's a squall, and it's so fucking gross. It's disgusting. Yeah,
the fear of head crabs.
Of crabs. Yeah.
What are anyway, some alternate? Sorry, keep going.
It's coming out like 5 days. The cards are already out to pre-release, and in Arena Online, they're coming out in about 4 days.
Isn't going to all these different universes and introducing all these specific mechanics that happen per release, like, isn't it? Does it overwhelm you, Magic players? Like, this just happened a month ago, and now every month I have to hear about this, and I don't like it. And do you guys like it?
Yes, this is a very aggressive schedule that they had. This is I think the closest two sets have ever come out, but a lot of stuff is all being flushed out. It's too much to explain. Yes, it's a lot, dude. It's a lot. But as far as like being overwhelmed, not really. Yeah, a month is about enough time for all the meta started to like stagnate, and then now this, all these new cards are coming in, not stagnate, but it started to settle, and now right. The new cards are coming in, it's going to just mix everything up again.
Okie dokie. All right, Bobby, what are you picking this week?
So I'm going to do something rare this week. I'm going to ping something that is not video game related. Every year around this time, it is fall, by the way, officially. Happy fall, everybody. But every year around this time, I start watching a bunch of scary movies. So I have compiled a list of movies that I'm going to be watching. I posted them in the Discord. I feel like I quite often get asked, like, around this time of year, even on the podcast, we may get a listener question like, what are your favorite scary movies? Or what are movies you watch all the time around Halloween? And I always give the same answers. So this year I'm switching it up a little bit. I got my list of 12 movies that I'm going to watch. One of those movies is a movie that I watch every single Halloween without fail. See if you can guess which one. But
The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. That's my guess. Is that it?
No, but I'm glad you brought that one up because I've been watching. If you watch my Letterboxd, if you follow me on Letterboxd, you know, yeah, I've been watching a lot of Don Knotts movies. And it was a perfect segue from Don Knotts into the scary movies with the Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
I wish you could work on the segues that well, that good for the podcast, man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Instead of satisfying yourself from one crazy idea to another.
Bobby, on this list, you have One Cut of the Dead, which may be one of the best films I've ever seen. Have you watched that one before?
I have not seen that movie before. That movie has been remade in pretty much every country in the world now. There was a French version that was on my watch list for a long time, but I've heard the Japanese version is better. So,
great.
Okay, no spoilers.
I need to see that.
Five out of five stars on my Letterboxd, Emilio. Yes, you need to. I don't throw those out often, okay?
hey, Bobby, I do have a question. So most reviewers, I think they don't give a fair shake to horror. Do you add a star just for horror, or maybe not add a star, but are you a little more fair? Can a horror film be a five star?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a big conversation, like what actually qualifies as horror. But I think a lot of people who review movies, they respect horror movies. And I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there. It's really like the Academy that looks down on them. Like a horror movie is never going to win an Oscar. But people like your YouTube reviewers or even, you know, like the older generation, like even Roger Ebert liked horror movies. So,
gotcha. One Cut of the Dead.
One Cut of the Dead. You got to watch it. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, and that's the version you saw, the Japanese version?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And okay. I was like, wow, this is great. Cool. This is a great list. I'm looking for spooky movies too. If you're out there looking for spooky movies, maybe we can link this list in the show notes. I think that would be cool. People can watch along with our good friend Bobby. Okay.
No, Christian, you don't have to look at it. It's the right here. There's a complete list right here. The complete list. There's no searching.
You're right. Point. Yes.
You're right.
This is it. This is the final TikTok. The list is here. Okay. Highlights, games that we have been playing. And Bobby's going to start us off with another promise made and another promise kept from last week.
Wow. The consistency.
It's crazy.
You know what? I wish I could agree, but no, I broke my promise. Last week, I said I was going to play Backpack Battles, and this week, I played Backpack Hero.
Dude, wait, hold on. So you brought this one up, and you said it's very similar to the other one, but the other one was cheaper and had better reviews, but then you went with the more expensive, less reviewed?
I did. We gotta hear why. We gotta hear why.
So Backpack Battles was a PvP inventory management auto battler. Backpack Hero, single player, more of an RPG style. And I thought it was going to be... So this all started last week when I played Mega Loot. And I was like, dude, this inventory management genre, I got to check out more of these. This game is not so much about inventory management. It is really more of a roguelike. And there's turn-based combat. Mega Loot, you would just like... focus on getting your inventory set and then just hit that attack button over and over again. This one, you're actually, there's a method to how you attack things and like in what order you do things. And you have different engagements throughout the dungeon and different encounters. Like it's completely different. So I was a little surprised by that, but I still enjoyed it. I just had to kind of like adjust my expectations because it was so different than what I was expecting. It's a pretty good game. And it is on sale right now, by the way. GOG.com. It's like 20% off. So good time to pick it up over there. So like I said, the focus isn't entirely on inventory management, but that is a big part of it. Not only are you trying to place items in your inventory to...
Not only.
Now hear this.
But you're doing that as you go through these dungeons and you fight different creatures. But where Mega Loot, I think, failed and it didn't have that meta progression, this game has plenty of that. So when you go into the dungeons, you collect a bunch of loot. Then you come back to this village that you're trying to rebuild. They do this in video games all the time, right? Yeah, like, our village needs to be built. So, you know, you build the tavern. True.
Yep.
Yeah, that old chestnut.
Sorry. Keep going. Chestnut?
That's a quote from a movie. I can't remember which one right now where he says, you know, that old chestnut. Mike Myers says it in a Mike Myers movie. I think it's an Austin Powers movie.
Anyway. Even my grandfather was rebuilding towns, but actually physical towns that fell down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been an age long.
We used to do it in real life. Now we do it in video games.
It's true.
Yeah. So I'm rebuilding this stupid town and everybody wants something. Everybody's got a quest for me.
It's so funny. Why is it stupid now? Yeah. Now that it's not stupid. It's not stupid. It's one of the best ways. It's one of the best ways to do meta progression.
Yeah. If you look on the Steam page at this game, the town looks beautiful and it's just like, ooh, it's like the bushes are aligned just right. And like they've organized it. And I'm like, my town doesn't look like that. It does the Stardew Valley thing where there's a bunch of crap you got to clean up first to make space for things. So
my favorite part of Stardew Valley, the only part I got past. So perfect.
Yeah. Still in that, the clearing phase. Yeah. So my town doesn't look that great right now, but, there are also a lot of different classes here with completely different play styles. So I think there's a lot of replay value in this game. I do have a few complaints though, and I'm pretty early into the game. I don't know if this is going to get better as it goes along, but I have a feeling that the answer is no. So even though you have all these this wide variety of mechanics and different types of fights, including boss fights, and different encounters too, like where you run into people and like they want you to play a game. There's a, like, it's a risk that you can, that could pay off, you know, things like that. The dungeons that you go into are very short, so it doesn't feel like you really get the chance to get crazy with the inventory management. Like, there's three levels to every dungeon. The last level is always a boss fight, and you level up like maybe three times, I don't know, three or four times. And when you level up, you expand your backpack so you can put more stuff in, and you're always getting more items that you can put in there. But it doesn't really feel like this is what I want from an inventory management game. I want to spend like 20 minutes just looking at my inventory, like tweaking it, getting it just right. And like, ooh, if I put that there, then I get plus one more damage. You know, if I just do this little rearrange, but this game doesn't really have that. Like, by the time you get to that point, the dungeon's over, you go back to town, you dump all your gear, you know, you pick up some quests, and then you go back and you start from scratch again. So it just, it feels like it just doesn't reach that level that I really want out of
an
inventory
management
game.
It's kind of edging you in a way, like giving you just a taste of the sweetness and then making you rebuild, in your words, quote Bobby, that stupid town that you don't want to do.
Hey Bobby, in the fourth frame, after the movie, there's three pictures, the third picture. It looks like the backpack's pretty big and it's pretty involved. Have you gotten to that point?
I must not have. So you're talking about the screenshot on the Steam page?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Let me see.
So the picture, the backpack's almost the entire screen. And it looks like he's keeping things separated. So maybe
That's a big backpack, dude.
Yeah.
That's a big backpack.
Wait, are you guys looking at the same one? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, my backpack isn't quite as big as that, but it's pretty close. And yeah, I haven't seen a 500 hit point boss yet. So probably later in the game, you do get to expand more. So
yeah, dude. Also, how presumptuous of you. Yeah. I don't know. There's no way. It probably.
No. I didn't,
as he's throwing on his backpack over his shoulder with his pinky out, he's like, there's no way.
Okay,
no,
Clearly stated that, you know what, like, this may be because I haven't progressed far enough in the game. But at the same time, like, I'm also not the kind of guy that's going to stick around forever waiting for you to give me a big backpack. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I want that. I want that now. I want that satisfaction.
Wham, bams, thank you, ma'am. I'll take my backpack.
You're a big backpack at the start kind of guy.
Yeah. Three dates. Give me the big backpack. Yeah.
What do we? No. And also, I like how you have really hard opinions on inventory management games. Now you're like, this is what I want from an inventory management game, which is so niche and specific. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Megaloot was just about the inventory management. Like, that was it, you know? So, and that's what I really liked about that. And this game is kind of in a different direction and I don't really like the direction, but it did a way better job of what it was trying to do. So I don't know. It is a good game. Like, I'd recommend this. And I mean, the other thing too, that I don't like is you go into town and these villagers are talkative, man. I'm talking like dialogue after dialogue, they go on and on.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I want to make a video game just so I can do it right, you know, with the dialogue. Like,
yeah,
I feel like
three
everybody makes the same mistake.
Hey.
No. Stardew Valley. I've said this before. Stardew Valley does dialogue right. They keep it short and simple and they get the point across very, very briefly. But yeah, okay. So Backpack Hero, pretty good game. I would recommend it. I guess it gets good later in the game, but still a good time.
So okay. Sam and I went out to San Diego's Best Ramen. It was like 4.7 on Yelp, and it was like $18 for the bowl or something like that. It's pretty expensive, and it was really good. And I was like, is this 8 times better than the udon noodle ones that we get that are like, you know, the upscale, like, because of the price? I was like, is it 8 times better than, like, is it worth it? And she's like, yes, it's clearly 8 times better than the package stuff. And I'm like, all right, I don't know if I can follow you on that, but I can clearly say for $20, dude, you pay $20 for this, that the Space Marine 2 is at least three times better than this game. I've got to say, for sure, objectively.
Okay. Well, it depends what difficulty you're playing on, I hear. But anyways, Star Trekker, before we get to Space Marine 2. Oh, sorry, Bobby. Were you all done?
With that's a wrap on Backpack Hero.
That's a wrap. We're closing the backpack on Backpack Hero. Star Trekker, that's the game I played this week. It is a space American trucking sim. Like, when I heard the word, when I saw the game Star Trekker, I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to be doing, like, you know, the Expanse, long haul, serious sci-fi transport trucking. You know, I'm going to have to like get really into the logistics and stuff. This isn't that. This is like you take your Peterbilt long haul truck and you stick it in space with like some thrusters. And that's the game.
What?
So it's the game. I was trying to think today, like how to describe it. It's like seriously unserious. So like you talk to all these people on your AC space radio, like you drop it down and you like go on the radio channel and you're like talking to them. But then the game has all these, you know, you die if you don't.
What'd you call it? It's called a CB.
Oh, CB. Yeah. My bad. I said AC. Okay.
Oh, not I was a trucker just making sure over you here, guys. Folks. Don't call it a different thing over
no,
there.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So
half our listeners are truckers, dude.
I know. I'm offending a large portion of our user base. Hey,
I just
said
saved
the word,
your life, I think.
I said the word Peterbilt. I think that has some street cred. Okay. So this game reminds me of Hard Space Shipbreaker because it also kind of walked the fine line between like the mechanics in the game when you were actually like welding and decompressing the ships. In Hard Space Shipbreaker, you play as like this space welder that deconstructs spaceships for cash because you're in debt. And the debt mechanic is like you're like $11 billion in debt and you're never going to pay it off. And there's like these funny world building things around it, but the actual mechanics of the game is serious. And that's kind of like what this game is doing. Every subsystem in your truck requires power. Some require an air filter, some require computer components. It's all very serious. Like every dial has something behind it that can be changed out or modified. And there's a lot of dials and I'm like, do all these dials do stuff? So I started clicking stuff. Yeah. Spoiler alert. They all do something. Don't click random buttons. Cause you'll like decompress all the oxygen from your cabin and you'll die. And then you'll have to restart the game. It's a fun time. I was looking through some of the Steam reviews and people were saying, you know why I play these games? I just want to relax on my computer and I want to go from one spot to another while looking at beautiful scenery and upgrade my truck as I'm doing that and listen to some good music. And I'm like, yeah, I can see the appeal of that after a hard day of work. You know, that sounds awesome. And this game is beautiful. Like the nebulas that you see, the space stations that you come across, like a lot of work went into the atmosphere of the game. So that part I feel good on. There's space highways in this game with space road signs. And like I come into a system and the highway's in front of me and I have to go like hard left. But the highway has this like circuitous route through this like space station city and it's very complicated. And I'm like, okay, why wouldn't I just go as the crow flies? I'm in space. I'm not on ground. I'm in a spaceship, motherfuckers. So I take a hard left and I lay on the gas, which by the way, the speedometer is measured in miles per hour like in space. It's like an old, like, you know, like how a speedometer in an old truck would be.
It is so a trucking game after all. I'll be dead by then, but I'm gonna go ahead and say that cargo transport in space is gonna be called trucking. I think it might.
Okay, put that in a time capsule, send us to the civilization that replaces us once we kill ourselves and we'll see. So I make this hard left and I'm going through open space. I'm like, easy. I'm not going on the space highway. That's stupid. And then I get pelted with like all this debris and I'm like, oh shit. And it starts cracking my windows and affecting my engine quality. And all these lights are going off. Beep, beep, beep. Decompressing your truck is, you know, having a hard time. And so I stop the truck And I jump in my spacesuit and I go out and I try to like repair as much as I can. And I look around me now that I'm outside and have this 360 view, because before I'm in like a cab and it's like kind of a narrow focus, and I'm realizing like I can never get through this debris field, and I also can't go backwards. Like I'm porcupine stuck in the middle of, like, you know, I have to go so slow. It would take me so long. So I just restarted the game. I was like, okay, Space Highways, you win. Restarting the game. And I'm going to always go on your stupid fucking little circuitous highways. And the steering in this game is difficult. Like it gives you a lot of, I want to say, traditional truck mechanics. Truck drivers, don't come at me, but like I have to like back into space stalls, you know, with my cargo behind me. And I, sometimes I have like, you know, if you have like, three trailer hitches on the back, that can be pretty tough, you know? So like when it's easy to hit things, and I don't want to go through the space station, but the game is making me do that because it's part of the challenge of like of the game, you know, as I assume it is in normal trucking when you have to like go through cities and annoying locations just to get to where you want to go, which is like,
yeah, dude, you have to take the cargo where the people want the cargo. There's there's no way around that.
There's no going off the highway.
Yeah.
I was approaching a space gate, which you go up to it and then it counts down maybe like 6 seconds. And then it, one person at a time gets shot through it to the next system. And I just delivered my haul and I see this guy coming, complete asshole, blue truck, you know, super shiny, thinks he's hot shit. And he's gunning it to the gate. And I'm like, no way, motherfucker. So I put my gas to the pedal and I'm going so fast that I nearly hit the space gate and I slam on the brakes. I'm like, ha, got there first. This buddy is laying on the horn behind me for the whole time, like 30 seconds. And I'm like, wait, that's kind of cool. And so I go to the next system.
Like in hyperspace, he's honking at you?
No. Only one person at a time can go through, but the gate takes time to charge up. So I butt in front of him.
Is this multiplayer?
No. It's the NPC, which I thought was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's laying on the horn. I'm like, nice touch. This asshole. And so whatever, I go through the gate and I pick up my next job. And as I pick up my next job, I realize that I have this dock in the line item. There's this huge contract they make you look at and sign. It's like insurance indemnity and like dangerous good transport, like driver acknowledges, et cetera, et cetera. And one line item was like professional conduct. And I had like $1,000 taken off my paycheck before I even delivered this load because I got in front of that guy. I assume, I don't know what else I did wrong. I was being a good truck driver until then, but yeah. So don't cut in people up in front of the space gate. I think that's probably bad manners. The last thing is you go into debt really easily. If your vehicle breaks down, which kind of seemed like it could happen randomly and like, oh, I need to replace that air filter. But I'm in the middle of the highway. That kind of sucks. These people will come to your truck and they'll repair it if you can't get to the station. And they charge a lot of money. These space gougers, dude. These fucking parasites of the fuck. These assholes. These stupid bitches from stupid towns.
The price of convenience, dude.
Yeah. The price of not being prepared, I suppose, but I'm a new space trucker. Okay. I think they should go easy on me. And I went into so much debt. And after already restarting a run, I kind of just wanted to restart again. Now that I knew how much it was, like minus 20 grand and each contract nets me 3 grand. I'm like, I'm doing the math on this, guys. Space bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Star Trucker, super cool. I haven't played a sim like this since Hard Space Shipbreaker. You move around your truck. You have like storage of all your different parts that you need. You have like a bed that you can like decorate. You have, you know, a lot of things you can tinker with. I think that's cool. I don't like going into debt. You know, I don't like these like hard punishing mechanics when I'm driving like, you know, a 1990s truck in space. Like it just felt like a little bit of a mismatch. So I do recommend the game, but just be careful out there, okay? I'm playing on medium difficulty, and a lot of the reviews said play on driver difficulty, which is the easiest one, and you'll have a way better time. Your truck will break down randomly less. You'll less of a chance you go into debt. So if I do restart this game, I think I will go on driver difficulty. And there's like 5 more levels of difficulty above driver, by the way. So like, I don't know who wants to play that. Not me. at least. So yeah, Star Trucker. Any questions, guys? Bobby, do you fantasize about, you know, transporting goods from system to system? You're backwards, no. Cap? No?
I don't know. I mean, unless like I could choose how I stored the stuff in the truck and like got bonuses or advantages based on how it was arranged.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't make me build a town when I showed up at my destination. Okay. Then Bobby, yeah, I might be interested.
I think you've, yes, you know what you want these days when it comes to just video games in general. And unfortunately you're stuck in the inventory. Is this like a thing? Like next week it's going to be a new inventory management?
It's yeah, that's highly likely.
Yeah. Are you going to go to the PvP one, you think? I was looking forward to that one more than this one.
I want to check out a PvP one. Yeah. I want to, because there seems to be a lot of those ones, but I do want to see that side of this. To be honest, I think I might continue to play Backpack Hero a little bit. I want to get to that late game because I think that's where it's going to get more enjoyable. But I don't know. Got to bring something new every week. So we'll see.
The pressure. Time permitting. Don't bring something. Play Backpack Hero, dude. You deserve it.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about it. Tell me Christian, how your town's doing.
Does this mean you think you'll like American Trucker or Euro Trucker?
I was thinking about that. Yes, it might mean, but I imagine if this kind of casual game is this punishing, I imagine, like, am I going to have to replace the springs on my truck, like the hoses? If it's too detailed, I think it kind of loses me a little bit with tedium. But if it's not, yeah, I kind of like driving around and looking at stuff. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the guys that have the whole like mod setup of trucker, like basically a cab in the room?
No, I haven't seen that. That's awesome. Yeah.
And I was looking at this and I'm like, wow, this guy is really dedicated his life. What a loser. And then I realized that I'm watching him do this. Yeah. And it's just like,
oh shit.
Is it the blind leading the blind? You know?
I'm lower on anyway, this.
Yeah. He had like a full on setup, dude. It exists out there.
That's kind of awesome being committed like that. I saw the people playing Farming Simulator. There's like a huge hardcore community for Farming Simulator, driving like the John Deere tractors and like really getting into every small detail of the farm. That has enticed me. So maybe that's where I'm headed next. I don't know. But enough about transporting goods in space. Honk, honk. Emilio, tell me about another space game.
I perfectly segued into Space Marine, and you cut me off and just jumped in with your Star Trucker. But it's fine.
I really kicked you on the balls on that one. Yeah,
you true. Did. You did. So Nick has talked too much about this already. So I will talk about other stuff. So there's three modes: campaign, single player, campaign, co-op, and PVE missions, like that are just little vignettes that you play. And of all three, that was the most fun for me because there's six classes and you can, and there's skill trees, and you can really customize your character. And in that, within that, those classes, there's three different weapons you can pick. So, as you go down the skill trees, you can really start to customize and look completely different. Captain Gummy jumped in our game and he looked awesome. I was like, you know, it's like that moment in WoW when you see somebody like flying for the first time. And I was like, oh, you can get those paints. Like
that could be me.
It was very cool. Yeah. So that was very cool. The campaign is good by itself, but it's like, you know, it's like a God of War kind of hack and slash game. I'm hearing myself twice. Is it coming from somewhere? Now that he's walked away, it went away. Anyway, that is the most fun mode for me. I did run into an issue, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on it. So I was playing with George and Cricket. And Cricket is like a god amongst gamers. You know, he's very, very good at video games. And so he, I was playing on veteran, and I just started the game. I don't know, but generally I play on hard, just in general. And then I adjust from there. And so I realized that it was too hard for me. But by the time I realized that, two people had joined my game. So now I'm in a difficulty that's too hard for me. And Cricket and George, jump in and we're playing together and we're dying a lot, but we're kind of scraping by and we get to like the end of the level and there's just no passing it. I mean, we might have wiped 15 times. It was rough. And Lotion was just like, I'm not having fun. I'm out, and just fucking rage quit. And I was like, I should have probably changed the difficulty, but I thought that, and I was kind of right. We would have had to go back to the barge, which is kind of, you know, your hub, and change the difficulty and head back out. But, you know, I was at the end of my night and there wasn't enough time anyway. So, just as a general discussion, Bobby, I think you probably have the most, like a lot of the time you play like DRG on a lower level because you have your playing with newer players. Whenever you play with DLG people, are you having fun? I've always thought that like if you play on a harder difficulty as a better player, you dragging along other people or carrying adds to the difficulty and makes it more fun. But if it's, you know, but if that doesn't happen, then it makes it less fun for everybody else. That's the general way I look at it. But I played on normal with Lotion today, and it was so much fun last night. Actually, we tried it again. I was like, hey, you want to give it another go? And we had the most fun I've had playing this game. So where are you guys on difficulty and multiplayer? I don't have the answer.
My only experience, I guess, is going into Phasmophobia at like the top difficulty. And I can confirm that wasn't fun because it was just overwhelming in every way. And even though I was carried and like I didn't die or whatever, it was still, or maybe I did die. I did die. I died.
No,
every
even
time.
Being carried isn't fun.
No, being when I don't understand everything that's going on and there's like some advanced mechanics or items that I don't quite grasp how to use, and like someone's just doing all the work, generally I don't have fun.
Sometimes playing with Cricket is like playing with the cheat code.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are you at on this, Bobby? Hit us with the philosophy.
I think you just have to find whatever the right difficulty for you and the team is. I don't think there's any like definite answer. I mean, it could be hard, it could be normal mode, and it varies by game. You know, different games have different definitions of hard or difficult or easy. So I don't know. You just got to find what's going to be challenging enough, but that it's not a walk in the park and everybody's bored, but also not easy enough or too easy that it's going to be a walk in the park and everybody's bored, but also not so challenging that you're just going to be dying over and over again, because both of those are a bad time. I don't know if either one is really worse than the other, but
I will say that it suffers a little bit from what Back in Blood the problem they had, where normal seems to be a little too easy and veteran is a gigantic chasm.
And they eventually corrected that. But yeah, when that game initially came out, it was a huge leap in difficulty between the two modes.
As far as the gameplay, so it's hack and slash, right? In third person. But you have to be deliberate in your actions and time them correctly or you will fail. And so I put here that like it seems to do what hack and slash it does for hack and slash what Dark Souls did to action RPGs, where you have to, you know, you can't just mash buttons and expect what you want to happen. You have to see what's going on the screen, react to it properly, and move on. So it's like a Dark Souls with like a whole lot more going on. I'm talking about the difficulty and the commitment to a move and how much committing to one move can get you in trouble. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Not any other part of Dark Souls. So that's what makes it exciting. And the last thing, I don't know if it's my graphics card or what, but you know, it's not, it looks good. And the animations are pretty great as well. But I don't know. For a AAA title for $60, I was expecting a little more out of the graphics. But maybe it's my rig, you know? I'm on a 3080 Ti. I'm, what, two generations away? What series are we on now? Bobby, do you know?
4000. I mean, yeah, 3080 should be fine. You've got an ultra-wide monitor, but still, you should be okay with that. I mean, did you adjust the graphics settings?
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't. Maybe I'll bump them up to ultra and see what happens. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, super fun game, worth $60, I'd say. And, you know, I almost went with the deluxe for some reason on this one. I just feel like it's going to be a game that's going to have some lasting. And Bobby, I think you'd be interested in the class-based co-op, but at normal difficulty, the classes didn't seem to matter. You know, everybody's just trying to kill as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the harder difficulties, because there's two difficulties above normal. I'm sure that it really matters what you do and how you're doing it.
Yeah, and that was the most interesting part when Nick was describing it the last time he brought it up. The co-op, is it like a wave survival or like a moving from A to B, like Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, it's like Left 4 Dead. Yeah, it's like Left 4 Dead with three in third person. You know what's funny too is your character takes up about 25% of your screen. Like, think about it, like huge thing that you can't get. It's always there, and somehow it works. It works. I think they're really trying to like tell, like, you are a tank of a man. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they're trying to get across. And at no point was I like, oh, I can't see what's going on or anything. They did a good job with that. You're like a hulking motherfucker, and you feel like it throughout the whole game. And the alternate classes do feel completely different. Like, they don't have melee, which is most of the game in the single player in the campaign. I would say a very good game.
Nice. On the third person look of your character and your character taking up 25% of the screen, there was on the r/deadlock subreddit, there's an interesting discussion on the deadlock heroes and how much detail goes into the back of them. And like, I never considered this before. Like, the back is what you're looking at the whole match. So the back has to be the most interesting part of the character design and tell you the most about who the character is and the story and any little tidbits that kind of, you know, make your brain go, oh, that's kind of cool. Every one of those characters has these small, like, you zoom in and you're like, ah, he has a book in his pocket and the title is like this title of a book that was released in 1950s. So we know that deadlock happens in around the 1950s, right around where this book must've been published, or at least not after. A lot of character design and like what the back of a character looks like. I've found myself like zooming in since I read that thread and like really, you know, the artist left some crumbs for us. So let's, you know, look at them carefully and see what is there.
There's a lot going. There's a difference between deadlock and this. I think the majority, like all the time, you're going to be looking at the back of your character in deadlock. But in this, you know, there's a lot of cinematics, and you know, the front is more interesting than the back. But the back looks fine too. They have nice bums.
They have nice bums. Nice. This highlight segment was brought to you by Ree in Discord, who is also my wife. As a way to de-stress during one of the most stressful times of my life, she's pregnant, folks, I've decided to start playing Played Up again, which is one of the most stressful games I've ever played. No better way to forget about my real life stress than to stress about my restaurant. And I do. I look over and I see her play this game. She's like, it's like single player Overcooked, but just as complicated. And you have to worry about your restaurant bills and like, that you're serving customers and upgrading your restaurant in a way. It has like this meta progression thing. So If you're playing a game, you can tell us in Discord, and you can be on this segment. Head to dlgaming.net and click that Discord button, and we'd love to hear what you're playing. Next, on the radar, Bobby, starting us off with, I'm shocked. Well, tell us what you're talking about.
I am talking about Neo Duel Backpack Monsters.
It's shocking. So, it's shocking.
I know. Yeah, so this is another PvP. Well, this is a PvP inventory management auto battler. It is not out yet. This is coming out September 30th. It's only going to be 12 euros. I don't know how that breaks down to American dollars, but not very expensive. It is asynchronous multiplayer. That was the question that I had about backpack battles. Is it asynchronous? Which I'm pretty sure it is, but Neo Duel Backpack Monsters definitely is asynchronous multiplayer, which means you're going to be playing against other players, but not at the same time. So you don't have to sit and wait for them to finish their turn and then you go, then they go, and it happens at the same moment, which right. is probably a better way of doing this. It probably helps the player base too. Yeah, there's not too much on the Steam page. I mean, they've got some videos and some pictures and stuff, but the descriptions are pretty sparse. But you place these objects called Cosmions in your inventory. You place them next to each other, upgrade them. They create synergies, you know, the usual inventory management thing. What looks very cool about this is that it's very... The inventory is huge. It's massive. There's so many things you can put in there, so many different combinations. Maybe a little too complicated. If you look at the screenshots, it's busy. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's like a Japanese game show. There is a lot going on here.
That's a perfect way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an assault on the eyes. I don't know how I feel about that, but I am kind of interested in this. Like I was saying earlier, I want to check out the PvP side of these inventory management games. So this is one that I'm looking at. Also, you know, Backpack Heroes or Backpack Battles still on my radar too.
So I have, speaking of assault on the eyes, Sniper does so much for this podcast. He even cues up the questions, like, answer these questions. This is what the listeners are looking for. And like the very first line on every single line is, was a brief description of the gameplay loop. And my answer to this is, I don't know. I don't know. So
absurd comedy slap former. I like that description.
Yeah.
That
it's a slap former. So, that's how they describe themselves. And it's like this dumb little cartoon game, English comedy, I think. It's overwhelmingly positive with 2,600 reviews. Sam, my girlfriend, sent me a clip from this show like a month ago where you're like this little person and you're slapping things, I think. And things happen when you slap them. And there's... and there's this part where like you're slapping the shrimp on this like ice chest or whatever in a store, and the clerk is there and you're slapping the shrimp to whatever, trying to do whatever it is that you do. But it turns out that you're getting the guy off. Like he stuck his dick in the ice and you're slapping his dick and then he comes or whatever. It's disgusting, but it's really funny. The only reason this came to my attention is the Lotion sent me this. The Lotion sent me a game about beating guys off.
Nice.
But it has very good reviews. He said it's the funniest game he's ever played. I'll be playing this next week for sure. I just want to warn everybody that there's going to be a lot of beating off of clerks. Yeah.
That's great.
Did we go through that entire thing without saying the name of the game?
No, I said, thank goodness you were here. I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't know.
I said it quickly. It's called Thank Goodness You're Here.
Hey, thank goodness you're saying that. Hey, perfect. A slap former where you beat people off. That's cool.
I don't think that's the main thing. I think you slap a bunch of things.
Right. But yeah. A cool mechanic. But, yeah. Some would say the best of the mechanics involved.
Right.
Out of all the mechanics, you make the... When you make the dick come, that's cool. Okay. We're going to mosey on down to the game where you make money guessing a video game sound. Guess what, folks? $65 in the pot. Those are your hard, wrong guesses. Building the prize pot bigger and bigger every week that we get a guess wrong. We put $5 more in the pot. You email pixelshitshow@gmail.com to guess. Patrons get 2 guesses. And this is the sound you've been guessing for so long. You've been so diligent. You've been so demure, so respectful in your guesses. And I just want to reach out and, you know, appreciate each and every one of you thinking that you have a shot in hell of guessing this sound. You'll never win this prize pot. Give up. Do not email pixelshitshow@gmail.com. This week, Lil Jill sent in a guess that says enemies spawning in Vanguard Bandits 1998. What do you guys think about that? Did you play Vanguard Bandits 1998?
Never heard of it, and that does not sound like a spawning sound at all. And if it is, they shit the bed. Like, who? That sound designer, if he's not retired by now, needs to retire.
They could be teleported down very quickly. I don't know. Could be. That's okay. Interesting, though. We've got nothing but laser gun sounds or guesses, but... maybe it is a teleporter. Maybe that was the ruse the whole time.
Ha ha! I wish I could say that was the ruse, but it's not. What's the button? That is correct, shorty. You know by now that means it wasn't correct, okay? You know. You've been trying to guess this sound forever. So next week, the prize pot will be at $70. Pixelshitshow@gmail.com to guess. And you have some hints. You have mech, 90s. Anime, and those hints have been unlocked by Bobby, Emilio, and Nick playing my little games, you know, entering my little mind, the labyrinth of challenges, and coming out on top 3 times. And this week they have a chance to help you out again, and it's real simple, folks. I'm just looking for, you guys know me, we've been doing this for a while, what is the scariest movie that Christian has ever watched?
Oof. Man.
Scariest movie you've ever watched? I don't know.
It's Canada, so I'm going to say scariest movie that Christian's ever watched is probably The Ring.
Okay. The Ring.
I feel like you may have told us this at some point, but I have long forgotten. So I will go with The Ring.
Okay. No, don't say the same one.
Don't we have to agree on an answer?
No, we're cutting our chances in half, dude.
I was going to let you guys both guess, but it is a movie that I have brought up on this podcast in passing before, I do believe. So.
Man. Okay. We need a little help here. What age did you watch it at?
Oh, that's good. 16, 17. Yeah. Final years of high school. That was about 2008, 2009, if that helps you.
I feel like I know what this is, but I just can't think of it right now.
I'm going to stick with mine because it's super scary.
The Ring is spooky. It is scary. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it was out in 2008.
Yeah, it was. Wait, is that the Japanese or the American version of The Ring?
That was The Grudge that had 2 versions, no?
No.
They both did.
Yeah, they both did. Oh my God. What is it? I know it's something. It's some like.
Guys, I know it's dead air and I know it's insufferable. But
yeah,
they're doing this for
Bobby's doing it for the people.
Exactly. Yeah,
for the people.
The cogs are turning for the people.
No, I'm not going to be able to think of it.
Guess something.
It's something where somebody gets maimed or slashed up or something. It's probably some like slasher movie.
Like Hostel?
Name any spooky film.
Okay, I will go. Yeah, sure. Hostel.
Hostel. Okay. Ugh. That was a disgusting one, but it wasn't scary in the way that Antichrist was scary. Shiver me timbered.
Yeah, I would never guess
Willem
that
Dafoe gets his dick chopped off, and Oh my God. By the way, that was actually scary. It spooked me to my core. Anyways, no hint this week, but you know, we've been doing these themed hints and you might wanna, you could intuit something from that or not. Down to listener questions, Bobby.
All right. Time for some listener questions. We've got quite a few here. First one is from Zap. I just realized that my gaming mouse, work mouse, speakers, and sim racing rig are all Logitech. Do you have a peripheral brand that you are loyal to, either intentionally or unintentionally?
No, because I'm not a stupid simp, Zap. Sorry. You guys go. That's not an opinion I hold, but...
I'm more likely to buy a Logitech. If it's like between two things and one is Logitech and one isn't, I'm more likely to go with the Logitech just because they always work for years.
Yeah, well, the thing about Logitech is it's just everywhere. They make everything. And yeah, I mean, it's a pretty reliable brand, although my headset, my Logitech G935 was the worst headset I've ever had in my entire life. And it's the reason I never would touch a wireless headset again, even now, like a decade later. But I don't really have any particular loyalty to a lot of brands. Like, I know people are pretty stuck in one camp when it comes to video cards, but like peripherals, not so much. Like, I really like WASD keyboards, and I could never like settle on a mouse, but this mouse that I got now, this Cooler Master M710,
the Honeycomb
best
one.
Best mouse I've ever had. Like, it's so good. Absolutely love it.
Guys, I found out I do have an answer to this real quick. This shaver, a Philips One Blade. Yep. This Philips One Blade changed the blade 3 times. I got it when I moved. I got it 13 years ago. This has lasted for 13 years with 3 blades. Sure.
It shaves your face?
It shaves whatever I want, you know?
Ooh.
Sometimes I want to freshen up other places.
A little.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Yeah. So if you're out there, this Philips Green Razor, and I was watching some behind the scenes of that show, The Bear, and they were like prepping him with his tattoos and they were doing his hair and they were using this razor. And I was like, that's my razor, the Philips One Blade. So if you're out there,
I've got a Philips trimmer, dude. I had that thing for 10 years and I'm like it's working fine. I looked at it one day and I was like, let's just see what the new one's like.
Yeah.
And it had a couple more bells and whistles. And I was like, they deserve me buying a new one after 10 years. And I just got the new one. I was like, you served your duty.
Like, go off into the sunset.
Go off into the sunset. Yeah. Because it's like self sharpening blades.
Oh.
And I don't use a trimmer. Yeah. So, yeah. Those fucking Philips things just last forever. So, yeah.
Philip, what a good guy. Good peripheral.
Maybe they should make gaming mice and keyboards and
they should
headphones. Yep.
Let's expand this a little more. If you're just what company overall are you diehard for in anything?
Philips.
Yeah. Didn't we just go over it? You fool. Are there anything for any of you?
I like Jeep vehicles, but lately they've kind of all been like the, you know. They've released a line of like normal suburban mom vehicles, like every other vehicle line, and they've lost my respect for that. But the Jeep Grand Cherokee, I think, is one of the best vehicles ever made.
Okay, yeah. You can go ahead and have that opinion,
yeah,
if you want. Yeah, I was gonna go with car too. I really think Kia. I think you get a lot of bang for your buck. They last forever, and they're elegant.
Yeah, but Jeeps make a weird noise at around 50,000 kilometers that you just can't get around. You know, that's unique.
Bobby, you got nothing?
No, not really. I mean, yeah. I like Apple products, but I don't have an iPhone or an Apple Watch. I'm like the opposite of everybody. Like, I use Apple computers, but nothing else from Apple.
Got it. Oh, you like that fish place, Rubio's, that closed down? Would you say? Yeah.
They've been closing down a lot of Rubios. Yeah, I don't know. We're really expanding this, aren't we? It's like gaming peripherals, just any sort of brand of any like okay, tool.
Let's, yeah, let's go to Jay Beckquest.
Oh, no, Zap's got another question here.
Oh, sorry.
He asks, what difficulty do you play games on and why is it the right choice for you?
Easy. Honestly, you know, these guys know. Emilio and Bobby have joked about it. I'm not the best at video games, at least not multiplayer, Twitch-based, reflex-based, you know, first-person shooter type games. So,
And that's okay.
No, I mean, it's fine, but I play on easy because that's just fun for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the answer is whatever the most fun is, right? Of course. Yeah. But I mean, to some extent, I mean, I want to stay sharp, you know? So I want to push myself a little bit. If I don't fail ever, that's not fun either. That's just me playing through an experience.
Yeah.
Right? I want to push myself a little bit. So it's up to the designers really to that gap between normal and hard has to be perfect, and then have a nightmare mode or whatever on top of that. That I'll never go there. I don't think I've ever played the hardest difficulty on anything past hard.
Me and my brother beat Halo 3 on Legendary, and it took us, I think it's like a 3-hour campaign, but it took us from like 8 in the morning to like 3 in the morning the next day, and it was not fun. like we died at the last level like 30, 40, 50 times, and do not recommend. It's not worth the Xbox 360 achievement, folks.
Not worth it. I will always play a game on normal because I feel like that is the intended difficulty of the developer. Like, they designed the game to work on that level. It's the baseline. And then if you deviate away from that, then they had to make adjustments that may or may not work. So I'll always start a game on normal, but I don't know. If it's like too easy, then maybe I'll bump it up to hard. And I really like it when games allow you to change the difficulty mid-game. Which
is happening more and more.
Yeah, it's really common now. You rarely actually see it the other way around, I think. But yeah, I'll always start a game on normal, especially like a single player game. It's like, who cares, dude? Like, I'm not going for the achievements, and I'm not like trying to brag about like beating a game on like a super hard difficulty mode, because by the time I do that, people are like, nobody's playing that game anymore. Nobody cares.
That was me and Cuphead. Like, that's the one time that I was like, I got to beat this just to prove it to myself and so I can brag about it.
And did you? But you did then, it?
I did, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, but some people beat it on hard and make me look shitty. Anyway, next one.
All right, next question from Jay Beckquest. What's the most immersive gaming experience you've ever had?
It's got to be Half-Life, Alex. You know, in that game, you have this like whip mechanic to grab things, and it becomes second nature. Like, they took away what would otherwise take you out of the game, which is reaching out and grabbing things. That's the thing that like kills the immersion. You just picking up a box never feels right in VR because you can't feel the box. So they give you this laser whip and you whip it right into your backpack and you never hold the thing. And then everything else is super immersive, right? So I get into this firefight, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And the firefight's over. I had taken cover behind these boxes. And I go to stand up and I put my hand out to put my weight on the crate to help myself get up. But there's no crate there. It's a virtual crate. So I fell forward onto my face in my gaming room. And yeah, that was pretty immersive. When you like, you're hallucinating items being there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that, I had a different answer to this, but, we used to play a lot of Rock Band in my friend's basement, and we used to play for a long time, and we used to make these, peanut butter weed crackers, we'd have about midway, get us really into it. And one time on like a marathon session of Rock Band, we all took a break and like looked at this blank wall. And we were like, dude, do you see that? Like, the notes from Rock Band were going down the blank wall because I've been playing it for so long. They were like burned into my fucking irises. My brain was making up. So anything that can make you feel like a rock star, you know, Rock Band, playing the drums, singing, and riffing on the guitar, and then you look at something in real life and you still see the notes. I think that's pretty immersive. Yeah.
My sister said that she used to play so much Pac-Man that she's old. She's like 60. Yeah. So she played so much Pac-Man that she would close her eyes at night and she would see the level, because it's always the same. The level never changes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh, old people. They have such cool. I used to play so much tag. I was a fit and well-adjusted child.
I think that'll happen with just about any game you play, though. That's happened to me with multiple games where I see it when I sleep or I close my eyes. All right. Next question is not a question. This is actually in response to something I said last week. I mentioned that going to Disneyland with just me and my girlfriend, two grown adults in Disneyland full of kids, was a little weird. But Lincoln says, Bobby, don't worry about Disneyland. I live in Canada and took my seven-year-old to Disneyland. 2 years later, my wife and I left our daughters at home while we went and had the best time ever. So I should probably, I was thinking about that. Disneyland and Biblioclasm in chat says Disneyland is for adults. It is not, man. There are a lot of strollers there. You got to watch out.
I said last week when you said that, that I think the majority of people there do not have kids. I think it's true. Hmm. Yeah.
At Disneyland?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Well, it depends what time you go to. This last time I went during the Star Wars night. And of course it's late night, so there's hardly any kids there. That was the best time I ever had at Disneyland. Like, I don't think I'm ever going not at night ever again. It was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. The mushrooms helped, but even without the mushrooms, it would have been fucking sick.
Eight out of 10 with mushrooms, 10 out of 10 with her opposite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. SeaWorld, same thing, man. So many strollers. But you know, I should also mention too that both my girlfriend and I work in education. Me not so much anymore, but we were around kids all the time. So like when
we
you
despise
go out,
them.
Pretty much. When you go out, you don't want to deal with that, man. It's exhausting. But yeah, I mean, Disneyland, you can have a great time. But I feel like a lot of the adults there are on drugs. Like, that's a pretty popular thing to do for people to go to Disneyland on drugs.
An interesting mix. A bunch of kids having wholesome family time and a bunch of adults separately on drugs.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a wild time. All right. And we also have another comment. So this is a bit of a correction. This is from Morconius. He says, I need to make a correction from last week. Emilio brought up Searching for Sugar Man, and he was right about one thing. It is a fantastic documentary, very impactful and emotional, and an important commentary about racism and closed societies. The major detail he got wrong is that Sugar Man is an African-American musician from Detroit. An African-American musician from Detroit got big in apartheid South Africa, not Australia. This detail is important because Sugarman, I keep wanting to say Sugarman.
That would be fine.
It's Sugarman, right? Okay. All right. Didn't see a penny of sales there because of the apartheid and inherent racism in the music industry. Also, people in South Africa had no idea who he was or if he was alive because he didn't know how free... Didn't flow freely.
Info didn't flow freely in apartheid South Africa. Okay. And all I have to say is that Emilio is a bigot. He's bigoted. No, just joking. Say what you're going
to say. I watched this 12 years ago. So when it came out. So I got it all mixed up. That sounds even better.
Yeah.
It's even more of a ringing endorsement. Yeah. I want to see it again now.
Wonderful. Cool.
Yep.
All right. All right, next question is from Time Killer B. Is Geek Squad worth it if you don't know how to fix your current PC? Asking for a friend. fixing your PC, I don't know. I can't speak to that. But I will tell you, like a couple months ago, I talked about Geek Squad installing my TV, and they did a fantastic job. And that was something I didn't really want to deal with, like mounting my TV against on the wall. And it was like the easiest experience I've ever had with that. So that was awesome. But Geek Squad for fixing your computer, I don't know, man. Like, if you need computer help, honestly, if you type it out in the Discord, there's a bunch of people that would probably help you out or at least give you some sage advice.
What Discord, Bobby?
Our Discord, dlgaming.net.
Oh, thank you.
Damn, dude. Yeah, they did such an efficient job, Bobby, because they walked into your place and they didn't want to be murdered. Usually they take a lot longer. I hear from
oh
the...
my God.
I'm just joking. Sorry.
Bobby's trepidation about hanging that TV, dude, it's crazy to me. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they did a better job than I could have, because they were like, they taped it off and they're like, okay, how does that look? I sat in the couch. I looked at it. I'm like, okay, that's exactly where it's going to be. And then they mounted it. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, I didn't have to worry about anything. So.
All right. Next.
Next question is from Burn Division. Have you ever paid for a game's original music soundtrack?
So no, but I have been... collecting, you know, vinyls of my favorite background music. I think in streaming, we have gotten a huge selection of music to choose from, which is awesome because I can work from my computer and I can listen to whatever takes my fancy. But I find when I'm doing stuff around the house, I really can appreciate a full album way better. Like, I don't mind listening to some songs I like a little bit less, because it's kind of what the artist intended when they released all their music and the order they intended it in. I think all of that is maybe something we don't appreciate as much. So I've been getting a lot of vinyl, and I was like, I love the Hades soundtrack. I would love to listen to it as it was released. You know, like the first song is probably, I mean, I know what the first song is. It's when you first load into Hades and you're in the throne room. Then the next song. Exactly. Yeah. And
it's
then
so good.
It hypes up until the 10th track, which is the Hades boss battle, which if you played that game, it's like the best fucking thing ever. And so I was looking for it, and it's not sold through like the Supergiant website or any affiliates. It's only sold on eBay. Like, they've done a limited run and now you can only get it from resellers, and it's $249 right now to buy. So long answer to a short question, whatever I'm trying to say. No, but that is my dream, is to get the Hades sound, to be rich enough to have fuck you money and get that Hades soundtrack on vinyl, or maybe when
so
it goes
share
down
this
in
podcast with all of your friends and even people that don't play
aren't
games.
Your friends.
Just fucking, yeah.
Share it with anyone. Yeah.
No, never. And curious. So can you find video game music on Spotify? I wonder.
Oh, yes.
Like,
I have.
You can. It's all there.
I have a playlist that I'll actually post in the Discord, because it has, like, I think the Far Cry game soundtrack are so good. Maybe a little undervalued. Oh, those soundtracks are banger. I had a friend who went to Spain and went in a church, and she was like, what is this music? And it was Secunda from Skyrim. Like, they were playing that in a church, because it's like awesome. It's like a great soundtrack. So yeah, they're all on Spotify, or most of them are on Spotify.
All right. That's it for our listener questions. What's everyone playing next week?
Frostpunk 2,
well,
baby.
I'm glad you ask, and thank goodness you're here. That's my answer. Thank goodness you're here.
Oh boy. All right. And Christian, Frostpunk 2?
Yes, sir. Frostpunk 2. We're going back to the city. We're gonna make kids work in the mines. We're gonna cut off their hand and eat, become cannibals if we need to, or if we want to. And we're gonna survive the winter. That's what's
on the
docket.
What did it cost?
I should mention, got the key for free. So have that caveat with what I'm going to talk about, but $0.
Sure. How much is it going for? I think the original one was 20 or 30, right?
Frostpunk? No.
It was a $60 game, dude.
Are you sure?
I feel like.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure? Are you sure? Frostpunk? It's going for $57.99 Canadian. The deluxe edition, $96 Canadian. Oh my God.
45 US, and the original Frostpunk is $29.99.
Now, but it didn't release as a $30 game.
Maybe not.
All right. I don't know what I'll be playing. Maybe that PvP auto battler inventory management game, but I do want to play a little bit more of Backpack Hero. I want to get a little bit further in that game, but as far as something new, not entirely sure yet.
Yeah. Don't bring something new, Bobby. Go to some playback. Enjoy yourself. Okay. Don't put so much pressure. Oh, but if you do play that PvP one, I think I would love to, to submit my build for you to challenge because it's asynchronous, but you probably still get like the person's backpack who you are challenging, you know, like, oh, this is Sniper's backpack profile. And
yeah, I wonder if they show you that. They must somehow. Or
that would be cool, but yeah.
All right. Speaking for Bobby, Sniper, and myself, over the shoulder boulder holder, backpack titties. Bye bye, everybody. Goodbye.
That was good.
Thanks, man.
Did that leave your mouth like that?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.